Hi, everybody. We're back again with another episode of Red, White, and Brown from Desi So Left. It's Anthra and Mira. And we were just talking about this Korean show that Anthra watched as a has read as a webtoon, and now it's a show featuring Cha Won-ho. And I was just telling her how beautiful that guy is. I mean, his face features are so perfect. I mean, how can somebody look so perfectly cute? And well, I'm a Cha Won-ho fan, but a good day to be a dog.
I was telling Mira how cute the second male lead is gonna be, the little boy. You will just love him.
Really? Okay,
Yeah.
I gotta watch it. So you know, I'm watching all these almost perfect looking fine actors coming out of Korea and China. I swear to God, they look so good, and I just can't tell you how perfect Cha Won-ho looks. Oh, he looks, gosh.
I forgot the name of that webtoon, like the artist. So she has another series, See You in My 19th Life or Take Care of Me in
Yeah,
This Life
that
or
was a
something.
Netflix
I think
show earlier this year that we reviewed.
So Good Day to Be a Dog is her first work, and then the 19th Life one is the second work. That just finished I
On
think this year
Netflix.
in January. Good Day to Be a Dog was like over 2 years ago. So, but they, I don't know why they made it in that order, but it's actually fun. I literally just reread it yesterday, the 19th Life one.
Oh yeah, 19th Life is on Netflix. It's a Netflix original, and
I should
it's
maybe
pretty well
watch this
made.
show because I prefer reading. Like, see, I am a webtoon girl. I love reading manga. I've been doing that since I was a teenager. So I just read the webtoons. I
There
prefer
is another
going that
Netflix
route.
Korean show that I absolutely like right now. It's called Destined for Life, and oh my God, Rowoon is so fine. Rowoon is so fine. I mean, it's just, I've got Rowoon mania happening right now. But having said that, today we're reviewing two movies and a series. We will start with reviewing Vishal Bhardwaj's epic Khufiya with Tabu in it, his favorite muse, Tabu. And with Tabu, there is Vomica, and there is Ali Fazal.
So Vamika
So
was there in the previous review that we did.
just last week,
Yeah.
Charlie Chopra.
Charlie
Vomica was
Chopra.
Charlie Chopra as
Charlie
well, and
Chopra.
that was Vishal Bhardwaj too. So Vishal
Exactly.
Bhardwaj is gravitating towards his new muse, and that is Vomica. And the other movie that we're going to review is indie movie, small budget, that released in only US theaters right now before it had its India release, and it's called The Country of Blind, which is based on H.G. Wells' novel by the same name. And we'll talk a little bit more about it because we went and watched it in theaters. And we will also cover a series, Mumbai Diaries 2, Mohit Rana's Mumbai Diaries 2, about a hospital. The first season of the series was when COVID hit Mumbai, what happened. And the second series is about what happened after what happened in series one. But having said that, season one. Having said that, let's get started with Kufia Antara. What did you feel about Kufia?
So, okay, it had all my favorite stars, and of course I love Vishal Bhardwaj and the cinematography. So even if there were certain weaknesses at certain points, I could just move past that and actually enjoy the movie for what it was and how it was shot. What's basically, I mean, it's different from what he had done before. This was basically a spy movie, you could say. So, I mean, there's a raw agent, but this is not something he has, it's not a territory he has ventured before. Normally, he sticks to his Shakespeare adaptation. So, I really admired the effort, and I loved how good Tabu was. I loved how good Ashish Rabiati was. So, I got my fill. What about you?
So I know this movie was adapted from a novel, right? And it is a novel about Indian spies. The plot is actually, it's based on the 2004 episode when Pakistani ambassador Saqlain Mirza really sticks a fork in the neck of a spy, a volunteer spy for Indian Foreign Intelligence Agency called RAW, Research and Analysis Wing. And this woman dies right after her features are rhapsodized by the voiceover narrative, and points out to the birthmark on Hina's throat, and so all of this happens, and we all know that this is loosely based on a novel. We don't know if it really happened or didn't happen, but what really happens right now in this entire episode is we come to know about the relationship through a series of flashbacks. That Hina, who died, had a relationship with Krishna Mehra, played by Vishal Bhadwaj's main muse, Tabu, and in 2004, Mehra now leads a mission to uncover a mole in the RAW, and this mole is somebody that had warned Mirza about Hina. So there is an Indian bureaucrat, his name is Ravi Mohan, played by Ali Fazal, and he's suspected of selling classified documents. So they start watching him from an apartment across the road. And how in Western spy movies, espionage movies, the agents have, I love the agents in these movies because they have the amazing gadgets, they have these covert identities, and when they eat in a certain way, but Indian agents don't do that. They eat the tangri kebabs and their tandoori chickens and the dosa masala dosas. Like, it's a very different world, and kind of Vishal Bhadwaj creates that entire stark expectation versus reality world for us. But Ali Fazal's character, Ravi Mohan, has a bubbly housewife, wife, and her name is Charu, played by Vamika Gabi, who is going to be probably Vishal Bhadwaj's newest muse. And well, they presume that she is his courier. So they start watching her, following her, and there are these chances when Tabu looks at her and she reminds Tabu of Hina, her earlier friend. And she actually watches a lot of her. What Vamika really does is, apart from running errands for her husband and her family, she dances like nobody's watching her, and those dances are really, really good. And you can see Tabu's character trying not to look because she finds that pretty attractive. But this is what happens. So now Mehra takes shifts watching the Mohans and works with other spies like Michael and his wife Geeta. And I said, there's no sense of finesse about Indian spies. They don't look as if they belong to the world of spies. They look very normal. And and she actually ends up alienating her own son, a teenage son, Vikram, who's an aspiring stage actor, and of course, her relationship with her ex-husband, played by Atul Kulkarni, is also spoken about. So there is this personal life of Mehra, and this is the work life of Mehra. But as time passes, around all of this is established in the first half of the movie. But then Mehra's assignment changes focus, and it becomes very personal for her because she sees how the mole husband, before getting caught, dumps his wife. And they have to now think of ways in which they could catch him. And then there is this entire geopolitical scenario with the American CIA being involved. And so there are these incidental side characters that become big elements to this entire game, and one of them being Ravi's
Yeah,
mother.
and I think those were like the weakest part of the movie, I would say, when they brought in those American actors.
I wasn't
God.
expecting
But
Ravi
anyway.
Mohan's mother being a bigger spy than her son, spoiler, but yes, so those incidental characters kind of become big in the second half.
So, I mean, it's a good watch. I did not find Like the plot was not full of holes or anything. It was not
It wasn't.
anything
It was pretty
extravagant.
solid. It was, darkly shot. The cinematography, the screen, the framing of the entire narrative was pretty. He did, he reorients the viewers in the second half, but we look at stories about spies with a lot of. We want our spies to be really stylish, and this is just not that.
No, I don't mind it actually. I think spies in real life are actually, they are supposed to blend in, not stand out. So if a James Bond-like guy walks in, everybody is going to remember him versus somebody who just is so inconspicuous, he could be an everyday man eating a temari kebab on the next table. You will not even suspect. I think that is actually the real strength of how they portrayed the spies, because I always find spy universe movies, they're good watch, but I don't find them realistic enough. Like, not like you can't, like, Tom Cruise can't just walk into a party and expect, like, people don't remember him or know that's him. Like, they will remember him. Yeah, you might be fast, you might run away, but you can't just, like, people will remember your face. So you have to blend in. And I think they did that part really well. Most Indian movies actually do, which are directed by not. They're not supposed to be Pathan or Tiger. They did a pretty good job. So I don't mind that. I think the, like you said, the shift in focus between the first half and the second half, that was something that threw me off. And
Yeah, I
the
think that
American actors.
reorientation was a bit too much.
Yeah. And the American actors who played those CIA operators, Sonny Liston. Still, like,
Totally. Well, here we are with Kufia. It's playing on Netflix, so hopefully you will kind of find it interesting to watch. But the next movie that we're going to review is a movie called Country of Blind, and this movie is playing in select theaters in America this week. This based loosely upon H.G. Wells' book by the same name. Antara, have you read the book?
I have not seen the movie, but I know I know Hina Khan is there.
So anybody knows Hina Khan, but this is an indie movie, and of course it's a limited budget movie. The original story, of course, in the book, H.G. Wells' short story, was a story of a man called Nunes who actually stumbles upon a hidden valley in the Andes Mountains, where an isolated community lives, and this community was called the Country of the Blind. And a unique aspect of this community is that all the inhabitants are blind, and this is a condition that has persisted within the community for generations. So when Nunes really lands there, he's the only one who can see. So he thinks that he can be the leader of the society because he's the only one who has the sense of seeing through the process. But he soon realizes that the blind residents consider him handicapped because he possesses the vision which they cannot comprehend. So they have never seen, they've never had the sense of sight. So they
So it's like
for them he
retrogression
yeah
sixth form.
for them he's handicapped and they're normal, but his entire idea that he could become the leader just because he has a concept of he has a sense of sight, and they actually think he's stupid and he's nonsensical saying things what he's saying. So that entire premise changes for him, but he falls in love with a woman who's blind, but her father refuses to get them married because they think his sight is a curse. So they tell him, okay, we'll just remove this curse and then you can marry her. So he's torn between staying in the country of blind and leaving outside, and it's a philosophical story, and it explores themes of perception, difference, the idea of what is considered disability can be relative to one's environment. And it also raises questions about what is normal and how societal norms can shape our understanding of the
That is
world.
actually a very thought-provoking movie. Like, if somebody comes like somebody has never seen the world and they are surrounded by people who are also blind and have never seen the world. So anybody who comes with a gift of sight, that person becomes a freak to them. Like, and we do it in our life as well. Like, you know, we have few people, they might say, "Oh, I can see the future," or something. Or if somebody comes at us, then I'll be like, "Yeah, you're a freak."
True. So this is what happens when this movie is now kind of made into an Indian movie, in the Country of Blind by Rahat Kazmi, with Hina Khan playing the
Okay.
titular role. So it's expertly adapted though, but where the camera work is visually stunning, purposeful, and you know, stories adapted to the story of this guy Abhimanyu, who falls in a crevice and reaches the country of the blind. The rest of the story really follows the book. However, you know, where I thought the story had the potential to be made into something bigger with a better budget, I think where the story's limitation and the adaptation's limitations are really, you know, the technical quality of the editing, the technical quality of a lot of finishing. But this movie did release in select theaters across USA this time. It is a very well-made story. I mean, you don't see a lot of stories like this come out of Bollywood, which don't have the regular themes and
Yeah.
which go a little philosophical. So I think from that point of view, all kudos to the filmmakers for making this.
So that is a great movie.
And what we got to end this week's podcast with is this review of Mumbai Diaries Season 2, which is a series that's streaming in Prime Video. Did you watch it, Antara? Did you enjoy it if you did?
I did not finish watching it, I'll be honest. So, I mean, I
I
enjoyed what
had
I saw,
really
but
high expectations from this new season because I had absolutely loved the first season. The first season was set against the backdrop of 2611 attacks, and it was this entire conundrum that doctors undergo when they're trying to, save lives, whoever that person was. As the dialogue says, I'm not here to give a character certificate to the person. I'm just here to treat whatever disease that person has. Season 2 has 8 episodes, around 45 to 50 minutes each, and also from
yeah,
Nikhil
and I
Vakharni and
only got
team.
to episode 3.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it's not that good, but it's not that great either. Like,
And
it's not that bad, but it's
this
not.
time, Mumbai Diaries takes care of, it talks about the flooding in Mumbai in 2005. That's what the series is about.
Yeah.
The backdrop is all the crap that the doctors are getting because they operated upon one of the terrorists, and how the media gets together with the politicians and tries to milk the situation. So this story is about Dr. Kaushik Oberoi, which is played by Mohit Rana, and he has a court case which not only questions his competence as a doctor, but also his patriotism. And he has a pregnant wife, Tina Desai. And they're not too sure whether they should be happy about getting a baby at that point in time because of what's going on in their life. And there is this very, very aggressive TV reporter, Mansi Hirani, with played by Shreya Dharmantri. I absolutely love this actress. And what she's doing is she's literally trying to kill this guy figuratively and publicly, just trying to get media working against him, the public opinion working against him. But in the background, the social service head of the doctor is Dr. Chitra Das, played by Konkana Sen Sharma, and she and other people are trying to figure out what the hell is happening, while the head of the hospital, Dr. Subramanian, played by Prakash Belavadi, is trying to just keep it all together and try to see how they can survive this entire scandal of having treated a militant and a terrorist. What?
I always wonder, like, doctors have such ethical dilemma I think, like, all the professions, doctors, police, and anybody who works in like any sort of law enforcement or defense, we as engineers, we rarely face that dilemma. Like, there is a part of your persona which is like, patriotic and you want to do right by your beliefs, but then there is another part which is, it's either humanitarian or, and then there is a duty part of it, basically. So that always leaves me in a limbo. I don't know how to feel about it, but yeah, the story is gripping, even though I wish, just for the first, like, going by the premise and the first three episodes, I understand the moral dilemma of having operated upon a militant, but I wish they had shown more about, because this was the 2005 floods and so many people died in that flood. This was a human tragedy. It was created by humans and like the pollution in the city of Bombay without like proper drainage. Like, this happened because the city is so unplanned. There are a lot of other stories, human stories, which people losing their lives and their loved ones in these floods. I wish the central focus was more on that rather than this just one case where he has helped. Like, how is that important? Like, what moral, like, I wish they had shown more about, the search and rescue operations and reviving the people who come in and the, but I guess that's grief porn.
I
Anyway.
completely agree with you. For some reason, I thought the second I had so many expectations from this, but for some reason, I felt that everything was too crowded. There was just too many people, too many stories, too much, too many subtexts going on. And I couldn't keep track of it. It also felt as if everything was getting rushed in the series. It was as if they were in a rush to just edit shit out and, make things happen. But yeah, I think they were trying to show hysteria, and they were trying to show, but that hysteria led to a lot of choppiness in the storyline. And the characters are barely talking to each other, so that kind of made me a little disconnected in this season.
I mean, they picked a good topic, and even though it's set, Mumbai Diaries 2 was set before Mumbai Diaries 1, like it's a kind of like a prequel. So I was not sure if I'm supposed to take it like, okay, this is a prequel and there are more characters, but then they look older and some things that happen. So that was
Well, that's it.
they were new characters which are supposed to be old characters. You understand, like they brought in new players who are not there in the first part. So I wonder if Kokia.
I know. I know. But in any case, this series is called Mumbai Diaries, and this is a season two, and it's streamed
I mean,
on
okay,
Prime
not like
Video.
performances were good. Okay, I'm sorry I got distracted क्योंकि मेरा दिमाग ऐसे चलता है कि इसको क्या हुआ ये उसने क्यों नहीं था
That's
forget
right.
the
That's
time.
right. That's right.
But the performances were very good. Mohit Raina, wonderful. The cast is so good and they were doing their best with what was given to them with that choppy editing that they have done. But I don't find generally find found any flaws in the performance, like, however much I have watched of the show. I finished watching it slowly.
Well, that is it from us to you. And this series is on Prime Video, and hope you enjoy it. And with that, we are saying bye to you for this week's podcast, and we'll see you next week with more. Take care.